Welcome to Royally Screwed. My name is Chris Shearer, and it's my honor to take you on a tour through some of history's greatest, worst, and bizarre rulers. Happy Halloween and spooky season to all. In order to celebrate this time of year, I'm doing an episode I've wanted to do for a while to line up with the holiday. And now in this new era where I'm releasing episodes whenever I want, I can finally have one released on the actual day of Halloween. So who gets this illustrious horror honor? Horror honor? Horror honor? Well, anyways, it's Countess Elizabeth Báthory of the Kingdom of Hungary. To the uninitiated, she is usually called the female Vlad the Impaler, though that is a bit far off the mark. Like, Vlad was kinda the inspiration for Dracula. I talked about this way back in episode 2. Long story short, he kind of is in name only. Elizabeth was allegedly an inspiration behind the older vampire story Carmilla. So, content warning in advance, but this episode will be a bit darker with descriptions of torture and death. But who actually was this mysterious countess? Well, her claim to fame is that she is allegedly the most prolific female serial killer in all of history. However, that's a claim that in the past 50 years or so has become less and less accepted as we take a more skeptical look at history. So, we're going to take a look at those accusations thrown her way, but then also take a step back and think about her place in history. What did it mean to be a countess in the late Reformation / early modern period of Hungary's history? Especially, what did it mean to be Elizabeth Báthory during that moment in time? Also, fun fact for those who don't know, in Hungary, the order of a person's name is switched compared to other European naming conventions. So it's the family name and then the person's given name. So in Hungary, Elizabeth's name would actually be Báthory Erzsébet. I'll just stick with calling her Elizabeth Báthory, though. So, without further ado, let's begin the story. We're going back in time to the late 16th century in the Kingdom of Hungary in It's a Bloody Mystery, Countess Báthory. In the background history lesson, let's take a look at the Kingdom of Hungary, which, around the time of Elizabeth's birth, was technically a relatively new nation. Now, I say technically because the nation of Hungary has existed as some form of kingdom since the year 1000 CE, having been founded as a principality about a century beforehand. This version that was much newer, and also referred to as Royal Hungary, was founded in 1520 CE. Some very important things were going on in Europe as far as the Kingdom of Hungary goes, which means we're also going to have to talk about two things, the Protestant Reformation and the Habsburg dynasty. Those are two very big topics that technically deserve their own episodes, so I won't be going too deep into them today. Since the history of Royal Hungary is tied to the Habsburgs, let's briefly take a look at them first. So if you don't know, House Habsburg, also known as the Habsburg, it can be spelled with a P or a B, were a royal dynasty that had some sort of control over Central Europe from the 15th century, and other parts of Europe even earlier, up until the end of World War I. They got their name from a fortress built by an ancestor of the family, Count Radbot of Klitgau, around 1020 CE. A few generations later, the family added the fort name into their titles, and around the same time moved their seat of power to Vienna, Austria, where they continued to rule for the next several centuries. If you're not super great at geography, Austria is Hungary's western next-door neighbor. Also, the Habsburgs are notorious for being probably the most inbred European dynasty. At certain points, your family tree might as well have been a circle. But in the early 16th century, Hungary's bigger problem, like most of Eastern Europe, was the Ottoman Empire. After capturing the city of Constantinople and essentially destroying the Roman Empire, the Ottomans went on a massive expansion program. At this time in history, the Ottomans were ruled by Sultan Suleiman I, aka Suleiman the Magnificent. Under his rule, the Ottomans pushed further west than before, bringing their armies into lands that make up modern-day Hungary. On 29th of August, 1526, the forces of Suleiman fought against King Louis II of Hungary at the Battle of Mohács. Louis II was killed, leaving Hungary to fend for itself. In the aftermath of the battle, the Hungarian kingship was contested between two men, Zápolya János, a Hungarian nobleman and voivode of Transylvania, yes, that Transylvania, and Archduke Ferdinand of Austria, a member of House Habsburg and Louis II's brother-in-law. Obviously, this situation only left Hungary in a weaker position. In 1533, János attempted to ally himself with the Ottomans in order to remove Ferdinand from power. Unfortunately, this backfired when the Ottomans accepted a truce with Ferdinand and ceded the western half of the nation to House Habsburg. Though he was still technically king, János began recognizing his failure and named Ferdinand his successor. But then, János had a child right before he died, which further complicated everything, because that child, János II, was quickly named king by a group of Hungarian nobles. This would continue to cause problems for the people of Hungary, but, at least for our story, Ferdinand now controlled a decent portion of modern-day Hungary that, as I previously mentioned, is called both the Kingdom of Hungary and Royal Hungary. But the Ottomans and the other divisions of Hungary are present. Also, as a final note here, the Habsburgs were Catholic. Why bring that up? Well, because we now have to talk about the Protestant Reformation and its place in 16th century Hungary. So, what is the Protestant Reformation? Again, we'll have to one day have a whole episode over that, probably about Martin Luther. Basically, the late medieval era was a turning point for the Catholic Church in Europe. The papacy had briefly fractured with the Avignon papacy in France, and Catholic scholars were debating about how to properly get into heaven and the true nature of God and Jesus. With the inception of the printing press, local theologians were able to mass-produce their religious theories and Bibles printed in the local language that might have slightly differed from Catholic doctrine. In Germany, Martin Luther was railing against the church giving out indulgences, basically allowing people to pay for salvations. His followers would become the Lutherans. Lutheranism became very popular among the German people, and there were many Germans living in Hungary. Meanwhile, in Switzerland, you had a French refugee named John Calvin who was also forming his own sect of Protestantism, known as both Calvinism and Reformed Christianity. Calvin was very big on predetermination, meaning basically that, at birth, God has already decided if you're going to heaven or hell. In 1564, János II converted to Calvinism. As a Protestant, he viewed his rule as one of religious tolerance compared to the Catholic Habsburgs. However, the different Protestant denominations did not necessarily get along. After all, they were different denominations for a reason, and not just one anti-Catholic religion. However, Calvinism was viewed as a much better alternative for most of the former Catholics in Hungary compared to converting to Islam like the Ottomans wished. And again, all of this is going down in a country that has become increasingly divided among political, religious, and cultural lines. So, what happens when someone is just trying to live her life, but that life happens to be in contrast to what the more powerful rulers of her nation might desire? Elizabeth Báthory was born in August 1560 in Nyírbátor, Royal Hungary. The Báthory family was incredibly powerful at this point in history, with both of Elizabeth's parents coming from two separate lines of the family, so just regular medieval intermingling and not full Habsburg mode. They were probably actually like fifth cousins or something, so not closely related at all. Elizabeth's maternal uncle was the voivode of Transylvania and King of Poland. Funnily enough, one of her paternal uncles was also a voivode of Transylvania. And it's not the same guy, this isn't an inbreeding joke. The Bathory family would eventually build a family legend stating that their name came from a 10th century ancestor who slayed a dragon who lived in the area of Castle Etched, the castle where Elizabeth was raised. This ancestor, Vitus, was then allegedly given the title Bathory, meaning the good hero. Well, dragons aren't real, alas, and Castle Etched wasn't built until the 15th century. Bathory actually comes from the name of the town near Bator. The two lines of House Bathory were actually deeply divided in the decades before Elizabeth's birth, due to the whole political situation going on in Hungary. Her maternal side, the Bathory of Somjó, lived in eastern Hungary and had thrown their support behind Zápolya János for king after the Battle of Mohács. Her paternal side, the Bathory of Etched, had supported Ferdinand of the Habsburgs. Well, eventually, the Etched Bathory switched alliances, and the Habsburgs weren't super happy about that. In order to cement this renewed kinship between the Bathory branches, Elizabeth's parents were married. Elizabeth was raised as a Calvinist. She was also raised very much in the style of a noblewoman in the Renaissance, because that was also going on throughout all of this. She was said to have been proficient in Latin, Greek, and German, as well as her native Hungarian. All sorts of rumors have persisted about her early days that are used to speculate upon why Elizabeth may have gone down the path she is alleged to have taken. It's possible that she had epilepsy, and a folk remedy in the past for epilepsy was said to give a person suffering an epileptic seizure blood from someone without the condition. Obviously, the bloody connections there are very obvious. There's also rumors that Elizabeth's family for some reason was just really into torture. I personally think that's just playing on this cultural notion that nobility before the early modern period was just super down to torture everyone who was beneath them. Like, most perceived styles of so-called medieval torture, Iron Maidens and the like, were actually never implemented and were invented centuries later to fabricate a more barbaric picture of the past. Now, I'm not saying that Elizabeth didn't see any acts of torture performed in her childhood. After all, public executions were common in this time, and nobles did abuse both peasants and their servants. But there are people who would have you believe that she was specifically taught about how to properly torture peasants more so than any other noble of this era, which probably was not the case. However, there's one rumor about Elizabeth's early life that can't really be fully proven or tossed aside. Allegedly, around 1573, when she was 13 years old, Elizabeth became pregnant, and the baby's father was a random peasant from near Bator. Obviously, this would have brought massive shame upon the Bathory family, so the child was given away in secret, with the child's new foster mother apparently fleeing to Wallachia, a region in modern-day Romania that had been reliant on Hungary but was now under Ottoman control. Also the homeland of Vlad the Impaler. Now, rumors about Elizabeth's teen pregnancy did not really start spreading until after she died, so, like I said before, these rumors could just be rumors and not actual fact. But these rumors would have been especially devastating at that exact moment in time because Elizabeth happened to be engaged. A political marriage that would be followed through in 1575, just 2 years after Elizabeth's alleged pregnancy. Elizabeth's fiancé, now husband, was a man named Ferenc Nagy, a member of another majorly important Hungarian noble family. Nagy was about 5 years older than Elizabeth. Unlike his new wife, Nagy was possibly illiterate and could not speak Hungarian. They probably spoke to each other in some dialect of German, if not even Latin, though probably not the latter. As the Bathory family was much more influential than the Nagy's, Ferenc would even go on to use Bathory as a surname rather than Elizabeth fully taking on the Nagy name. The pair were married at a Narishti castle in the city of Vrano, which is now the town of Vranovnavtoplo in Slovakia. As a wedding gift, Elizabeth received the castle of Cetia, which is also located in Slovakia, where it is known as Chaktice. The castle was technically owned by Holy Roman Emperor Maximilian II, a member of the Habsburgs, but it was under the stewardship of Elizabeth's mother-in-law. For most of the early years of their marriage, Elizabeth did not live in Cetia, instead living with her husband at his castle in Sarvar, which is in Hungary. Ferenc was often gone for long stretches of time while the Hungarians were at war with the Ottomans. At the age of 23, he had been made commander of the Hungarian army. As Hungary was essentially the final border between the Ottoman Empire and the rest of Europe, it was not uncommon for there to be border disputes between the two nations. In 1591, skirmishes in southeastern Europe intensified, resulting in the Ottomans laying siege to and eventually capturing the fortress of Bihać in the Kingdom of Croatia, now in present-day Bosnia and Herzegovina. In 1593, the Ottomans launched an attack against the Habsburgs, which resulted in 13 years of fighting, referred to as both the appropriate titled 13 Years' War or the Long Turkish War. It is also called the 15 Years' War by those who consider the aggressive border skirmishes in 1591 as part of the conflict. In 1606, the war would come to an end with things more or less the same as they had been. The Ottomans gained a few Hungarian cities, and the Habsburgs took back a Hungarian region from Ottoman control. If anything, the outcome was more independence for the Principality of Transylvania. The folk stories of Elizabeth's life would once again say that she was thrown further into sadistic tendencies due to her husband. Allegedly, he was a cruel soldier who reveled in torturing Ottoman prisoners. Another story I kept seeing was that one of his favorite pastimes, which he then taught to his wife, was sticking a piece of oiled-up paper between the fingers of his servants and lighting it on fire, presumably severely harming the person this was done to. Also, a prized gift Ferenc allegedly gave Elizabeth was a glove with metal claws on the end, which she could use to strike out and injure anyone who annoyed her. There isn't much we can actually say, though, about the marriage between Ferenc and Elizabeth that's historical truth because, like I said, he was often out on military duty. Tales of him teaching Elizabeth further torture techniques are probably just further slander. All we can really say is that they had at least 5 children together during their 29 years of marriage. In 1601, Ferenc became ill and was noted as having chronic pain in his legs. This pain would eventually transform into a permanent disability by 1603. The next year, he passed away. Some records say he died from a military wound. Other stories insist Elizabeth poisoned him. From what I've kinda gathered, it seemed like maybe he died from mercury poisoning. Mercury having been thought to contain medicinal properties for many, many years until we realize just drinking mercury will kill you. Mercury does have proper medical uses in very small doses, though, but this is also not me saying to drink mercury for any reason. At 43 years old, Elizabeth was now the sole owner of her husband's estates. And with that came many problems, which, of course, would result in dangerous rumors. We have to jump a bit back in time, back to when Ferenc was still alive, before we actually push forward. Like I said, Elizabeth's husband was often away, during which Elizabeth was effectively in control of his noble duties. This often involved jumping back and forth between various Narishti castles. As war with the Ottomans erupted, the Narishti territories became incredibly important. They were in the border territories of Habsburg-ruled lands and also situated along major roads to Vienna, which could be disastrous if the Ottomans took control of those roads. Okay, so everything I'm about to tell you is what I believe to be propaganda against Elizabeth that was spread for centuries. This is a Halloween-themed episode after all, so I guess I might as well go a bit dark, even if it's not true. However, I'll eventually correct the rumors as I go along. While Ferenc was out at war, allegedly, Elizabeth would go off to her aunt's in Vienna, where she was inducted into a world of lesbian orgies. She was also taught all about sorcery and witchcraft from her aunt's servants, which she brought back home to Hungary. And when she wasn't off gallivanting in Austria, she was beginning to get into a darker pastime in her castles at Cheta and Sarvar. She often employed younger female peasants of the surrounding region as servants. Nobody would notice if one or two occasionally went missing, never to be heard from again. Though, allegedly, that didn't stop people from reporting screams emanating from Elizabeth's castles during the night. Young girls who disobeyed their mistress were said to have needles stuck under their fingernails. Others just had their fingers chopped off. Around the time Ferenc fell ill, a woman arrived at Elizabeth's home. Her name was said to be Anna Darvulia, a self-proclaimed witch. She further taught Elizabeth how to brew potions and craft poisons, obviously one which was later used to kill Ferenc. But after Ferenc's death, Elizabeth seems to have had an existential crisis. She too would one day pass on. However, under Anna's tutelage, Elizabeth apparently learned of a way she could stave off the curse of aging. If she bathed in the blood of a young woman, preferably a virgin, she would remain young. Well, as someone who apparently loved to torture and sometimes kill her female servants anyways, this was perfect for Elizabeth Bathory. If things ever became a bit too raucous, she would simply move to one of the different castles she owned and continue on with her barbarous activities. Apparently, this was all well and good while she kept the bloodletting to peasants. After all, why would the nobility care about the common folk? However, Elizabeth often brought in young women of lesser nobility into her castle, I'll get more into that later, and she allegedly eventually started using them to satisfy her sadistic pleasures and eternal youth literal bloodbaths. She was able to keep this up until, in 1610, Matthias II, the Archduke of Austria and eventual Holy Roman Emperor, ordered the Palatine of Hungary to investigate accusations made about Countess Bathory. The Palatine of Hungary, the representative for Hungary within the Habsburg court, at this time was a man named György Torzó, who was a very devout Lutheran man. Torzó led an investigation that resulted in him calling for her arrest on the 31st of December 1610. Allegedly, Torzó found Elizabeth in Castle Cheta after having just murdered a young woman. Obviously, this spelled the end for the so-called Blood Countess. Alright, now with all the rumors and bloody stories out of the way, let's take a look at what Elizabeth's life was probably actually like during her alleged killing spree. As I said before, Ferenc was off at war, leaving Elizabeth to tend to the estates. As the long Turkish war raged on, Elizabeth opened her castles as places of rest and healing for people displaced by the war. The poisons, potions, and other tools of witchcraft that she was alleged to have made were most likely medicine and other healing necessities. If young women actually died under her care, maybe it was just due to them being beyond saving from injuries sustained in the more war-torn parts of Hungary. Elizabeth also opened up a gynecium at Castle Cheta, a gynecium being a female-only quarters within a residence. In the gynecium, Elizabeth could teach the young noblewoman of Hungary necessary skills and potentially even medical care. By this logic, if Elizabeth actually was responsible for Ferenc's death, then it was an accident due to medical knowledge at the time and not for any nefarious means. Also, despite my best efforts, I could not find much historical evidence for Anna Darvulia, the alleged witch who taught Elizabeth further torture methods. She may have either been a random friend, a short-lived servant of the Countess, or just added into the narrative to further damage Bathory's reputation. However, this possible and probable truth did not stop Palatine Thurso from calling for Elizabeth's arrest. Also, his story of finding a dead body upon his arrival was never fully corroborated, making that too a potential lie. The Countess herself was put on house arrest without a trial. Several of her closest servants, who were said to also revel in torture in the Dark Arts, were put to death. They gave testimony that Elizabeth killed somewhere between 30 and 50 young women over the years. The local clergy tried to get Thurso to add accusations of witchcraft to Elizabeth's crimes, but this never came to fruition. The peasants of the surrounding region were asked to add witness testimonies to corroborate Elizabeth's crime. One young woman even decided to throw out that Elizabeth had actually murdered 650 people. This is a number you'll still see all the time, even though just one person said it, and even the most egregious numbers listed by other so-called witnesses aren't even half that amount. Elizabeth maintained that she was innocent of any crimes and even wrote to Archduke and then Emperor Matthias II to counter these charges. For what it's worth, it seems like he called for a re-examination of the case. This only led to more witnesses calling for Elizabeth to pay for crimes of murder. For 3 years, from 1611 to 1614, Elizabeth was under house arrest in Ceuta. In late July of 1614, she wrote up a will in which she would immediately divide her estates among her surviving children. Less than 1 month later, on the 21st of August 1614, Elizabeth was found dead in her chambers. Apparently, she had been complaining the day before about being very cold, but no one helped her. She was buried near Ceuta Castle, though complaints from the locals eventually forced her body to be dug up and moved. Apparently, she was supposed to have been brought to Eched, her birthplace. However, in 1995, when the Bathory family tomb was reopened, no traces of Elizabeth's corpse could be found, leaving us one final mystery over the wild life of Elizabeth Bathory. Okay, now that we've gone over Elizabeth's biography, let's try to figure out what was actually going down here. One of the major theories surrounding the accusations and arrest of Countess Bathory has to do with political motivations from House Habsburg. So, the Long Turkish War was technically a disaster for the Austrian royals that Emperor Rudolf tried to spin into a semi-victory. After all, the Ottomans hadn't conquered Hungary or Austria. However, the war was incredibly costly from a monetary position for the Habsburgs. Meanwhile, Ferenc Nagyesti was making plenty of money during the war effort, and all of that money went to Elizabeth after her husband's death. Also, the future Emperor Matthias II ended up being in debt to Elizabeth thanks in part to further war expenditures. On top of all that, after the war, Transylvania had mostly become independent. A few years later, Elizabeth's cousin, Gabor Bathory, became prince of the region. He seems to have been in favor of uniting Transylvania with other regions of Hungary in order to regain a sense of control in the region for the native Hungarians. This would have been a thorn in the side of the Habsburgs, you know, potentially diminishing their power in the region, but things were eventually smoothed over with a treaty that prevented Gabor from fully going through with this idea. But that whole story could have formed the thought in Emperor Matthias's mind that the Bathory family could not fully be trusted, since he couldn't really have Gabor taken care of without sparking massive controversy and further wars. Perhaps he thought the next best plan of action was to take out another powerful member of the family, one who wasn't a king or prince. If Matthias was indeed planning on trying to get rid of Elizabeth so he could take all of her wealth, then she for sure got the last laugh when she quickly divided her wealth up before her death. There's another theory which I was originally willing to believe until more research kinda made me think less of it, that all of this was due to the religious situation happening in Hungary. As I mentioned up top, the Habsburgs were Catholic, Elizabeth was a Calvinist. If the political debt situation was more so the case, I'm sure a difference in religious opinions at the time of heightened religious schisming was not helping anything. People have also pointed to the religion theory as to why Palatine Thurzo was so gung-ho about the investigation. After all, he was a Lutheran, which, while also a Protestant religion, is different than being a Calvinist. Thurzo himself is a massive mystery that I've been trying to unravel. I read at least a couple sources claiming that he may have actually had good intentions. Allegedly, he was friends with Ferenc. These accounts say he placed Elizabeth under house arrest without a trial so that she wouldn't have been tried as a murderer and killed. Other sources say he was just a greedy scumbag who was also hoping to get some of Elizabeth's wealth in the case of her death. On top of all this, Thurzo's investigation was heavily flawed. So, quickest sidebar here. In most modern courts, at least here in America, eyewitness testimonies are typically no longer considered as true evidence in a court case. Also, testimonies procured via torture are also usually lies that the victim tells their torturers just so they can get out of the situation. Almost every piece of so-called evidence in Thurzo's investigation was alleged eyewitness testimonies, and it's believed that Elizabeth's servants who claimed the Countess was a sadistic menace were tortured before admitting that. Another final note, Elizabeth was a Hungarian noble who mostly held control of regions in modern-day Slovakia. In Hungary, Elizabeth's image isn't fully healed, but at least people will admit that maybe our historical data is a bit skewed. In Slovakia, on the other hand, they very much still present her as a murderer who preyed upon the Slovakian people. So, at least in my opinion, the case against Elizabeth Bathory was a massive plot just to get her out of power, whether that was for religious differences, political machinations, or just simple greed of the rich. Okay, as we close out this episode, I want to say something a bit wild. I felt like I was going insane as I was researching this episode. So, let me give you a little behind the scenes of how I do things here at Royally Screwed. When I choose someone to write about, I usually look around at what other people on the internet have said, mainly people who do the same things as me but on YouTube. Then I usually skim over their Wikipedia entry before going into full research mode. I was absolutely shocked when everything I was seeing online, from people I sometimes watch, continued to just spread the stories that Elizabeth Bathory was this prolific serial killer. Because here's the thing, I went into this episode very much under the assumption that people kinda knew that the stories about Elizabeth were just a smear campaign against her. So why is it that people within the past decade are still making videos calling her a monster? I don't think I'm wrong here. Did Elizabeth kill anyone? Okay, maybe she did. Did she kill many people out of some weird desire to just constantly inflict pain? I really don't think so. She for sure didn't kill hundreds of people. She wouldn't have been able to get away with it for as long as she did, even if it was just the peasants of the region she lived in. Nobles are a cancer on society just from their base existence, but they wouldn't stand for the mass slaughter of the people who pay them taxes. I don't know, guys. This is just making me really annoyed. I'm also very annoyed that the true crime scene tries to dig their claws into her. I have many gripes about true crime media in general, but now isn't really the time for that. Anyway, despite every single mystery about Elizabeth resulting in countless points of view, for better or worse, I want to potentially dispel the final mystery of Countess Bathory. So, I said that she was buried at Cheta, but moved back to Eched. However, recently they found no trace of her body. This has, of course, created all sorts of conspiracies and spawned some undead tales. However, there's a growing theory that maybe she was just never brought back to Etched. Maybe she was instead just buried at a different castle. Perhaps at Sarvar alongside Ferenc. I think that would be nice, because even if the rest of the world decided to hate her, at least Elizabeth can be next to the one person who probably loved her. No matter how weird or sadistic their love might have actually been. But for now, that's it for this week's episode of Royally Screwed. I hope you enjoyed the journey. Be sure to subscribe to the show and tell a friend all about it. Well, gang, I'm not entirely sure what to say here, because this is the first episode in this new era of irregularly scheduled episodes. I'd like to get another one out in a couple months for the holiday season, but don't hold me to that. But whatever the future may hold for the next episode, I hope you'll join me then for another topsy-turvy look into history's most interesting rulers.